Good morning. Welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. This is BRN AM for Thursday, April 26th, 2024. And our top story today, reducing the number of veteran suicides. Joining me now to discuss this and a lot more, Tiffany Ellett is the director of the American Legion. Tiffany, it's so great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, let's talk about, this is a difficult topic. It's one that we've covered on the network before, veteran suicide. And I want to get to the solutions in a couple of minutes, but let's talk about how pervasive this issue is. How, from your perspective and the Legion's perspective, how pervasive is and how concerned are you about veteran mental health?
So the Legion has a major focus. They've had a focus for the last few years, and this year is a big year as well. We started our Be the One campaign back in 2021, and then it turned into a movement that we really use that in order to connect our veterans. This is something that's near and dear to my own heart. I have lost several brothers and sisters through suicide, and I've lost some personal friends that were not veterans through suicide. So I kind of see it on both sides. So not only is this a personal issue, but it's also an organizational focus, and it's a focus nationwide too, working with other veteran service organizations. No one should feel isolated and in that area where they feel that there's no way out. So that's really what we want to change, and we want to make sure that our veterans know that we're family and that we're all here together and that we will make it through.
Yeah. And you need that teamwork in the field while you're serving. Soldiers have to serve together, and it makes a lot of sense. When it comes to mental health, what are some of the challenges? We have a military, many of our military members and now veterans have served in, foreign wars, Iraq, Afghanistan. So this is probably, a result of some of that, potentially a result of some of that service.
Yeah. So when we join the military, you have 10 weeks, most services have some sort of boot camp or, basic training for 10 weeks. And in those 10 weeks, they break down your civilian identity and they build you up as a soldier. At me personally, I was Army, so I'm going to go with soldier, but really Marine, sailor, any of that. They build you up as a service member together. So then you are a unit, whether or not you're with the same people, you're always a unit as a main body of service members. And then you always have that connection. You have that support system. Then you build that support system in your barracks or in the houses that you live in on post. So you move as a body and you always have support with people that understand you, that people have been through the same situations or similar situations, that go through the same kind of family hardships, whether it's relationships or kids growing up. They always say it takes a village. Well, it takes a village to take care of a veteran too. And then when we get discharged, no matter what level discharge or what the reason is, we instantly become irrelevant. That's what it feels like. We no longer have that uniform. We no longer have that identity. And they don't have a 10-week deprogramming system when you leave the military. So you have, they do have a transition assistance program, which helps highlight some of the benefits and the resources that you can use when you get out. But overall, there's nothing that deprograms that need or that unity to be a part of something. And so then you move on to be with yourself and possibly your family. Hopefully you have that support system, but you go from your day being kind of run for you as to what you're going to do that day. I remember getting in trouble because I missed a dental appointment. And that's, that was assigned by the military, right? So they scheduled your appointments. They did all those things. You had someone to help you with finances and someone to help you make sure that you could pay your rent. And, you had all these things that in this kind of package to hold on to you. And then it feels like the floor drops out when you get out. I remember when I got out in 2013, I was starting my new job as a civilian and I was sitting in my closet crying because I didn't know what to wear. You know, that's like that's the and that sounds so kind of minuscule to somebody who hasn't experienced it. But when your responsibility is to be in the right uniform at the right time in the right place doing the right thing, that's really easy to follow. And then when you get into the civilian world, not only do you feel like you're invisible, that you're irrelevant, but you also lose that support system. You lose that those reassurances, and you use those standards. You lose those standards that that you've gone through however long you've been in the military. So it feels very lonely and very isolating when you get out. And it's just, that's something that we, that's the area that we really need to work on.
Yeah. And before we go to a commercial break, and I'm not served, but I can empathize with that feeling. I understand how difficult is it for family members, caregivers. That's gotta be very difficult to watch. It's got to be difficult to support because you probably don't know what to say. I mean, you can say it's going to be okay, but, you know, helping someone find a job or how to find the dentist appointment, you know, outside of military life, that there's some skill involved in that. So how impactful is this to family members?
As a family member, my wife is also a veteran, so I also know that perspective, and I work a lot with, you know, our organization not only works with the American Legion Auxiliary, but also the Sons of the Legion. And we also really, you know, kind of delve into the caregiver and support systems legislatively too. That's something that you just feel helpless as a caregiver, as even a child of a veteran, you feel helpless that you want to help them. But ultimately it comes down to if the veteran is going to be able to help themselves. So we as veterans want to take care of ourselves. We want to take care of our family. And then we get to the point where we feel like we can't take care of them because they're taking care of us. So it is a very complex situation. Caregivers get exhausted. The support systems get exhausted. The veterans get exhausted. That's why we really look for things that can help, you know, provide respite care or any kind of support in scheduling and resources and things like that. But the family, it's also really hard on the family too, in addition to losing that support system that they have with the military. So the spouses of the veteran would be, you know, knew each other in the neighborhood and they all raised the kids together. And now they moved somewhere else where they don't have that kind of family. So it is really strenuous on all parties involved.
Yeah. Well, Tiffany, as I said, I need to take a very quick break. When we come back, how to solve these mental health and transition challenges. You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms? Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy. Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 yeah. years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you gotta start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're gonna change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network. Welcome back. We're joined this morning by Tiffany Ellett of the American Legion. Tiffany, thanks so much for staying with us this morning.
Well, thanks for having me, and I'm happy to stick around.
Yeah, and also thank you for sharing your personal story. I think that's meaningful for the audience. And I think when people, it's it makes it very relatable. And to know that you're not alone. Other people go through what you're experiencing. Let's talk about some of the solutions. And I want to start off with one thing that I heard when, and I've heard from others, is the transition. And the transition out of military life, and you talked about what the training has been like and what the routines. But it sounds to me, Tiffany, that there needs to be more resources dedicated to that transition and helping our veterans know how to find a job, know how to get the dentist, find a dentist or get a dentist appointment. All those things, I mean, that seem so intuitive to us as civilians.
Yeah, the transition is really that. I mean, that is a pinpoint. Obviously, that doesn't stop at every, you know, that's not every situation, but that is something that that is a focus for all of us VSOs here on the Hill, and especially for the Legion. We've been working with VA. I know the American Legion has been working with VA on kind of improving some of the modules and things for the Transition Assistance Program. And I know that VA is focused on kind of, you know, kind of revamping it and seeing how they can improve it. I would say, you know, a lot of that has to do with the time. So some units, and it fluctuates from post to post. Some commanders or officers or just units will kind of shorten the transition program, and then some will elongate it. So it's really just a standard of probably increased time, and it's a lot of information. You know, mine was a week long when I was getting out, and it's just so much information that you're not even sure what you need, and you don't know what you don't know. So I didn't realize that I would love to have gone back after I was out a year, because that would have helped me, you know, kind of get my things together. But something that the Legion is doing, and we have systems called Buddy Checks, where we reach out to our fellow veterans, and it's a veteran talking to another veteran about how they're doing, about what resources they need, financial stability, food insecurity, any of that, mental health, healthcare. So that's a way for us Legionnaires to be able to reach out to our fellow veterans and kind of check in with them and just let them know that we're here to support them. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that your experience of going through it is and sharing that, you know, again, talking about what we talked about earlier, you're actually can help guide them in a way and say, hey, I've been through that. Here's what you might want to think about, or here's where you can go to find information on that.
Yeah. And that's one thing that the VA is working on right now, is trying to incorporate more veteran service organizations into the assistance program, not to recruit or anything like that, but it's more so we can present what we can give as resources. So that's really just kind of giving them a way to connect outside of the service member community and a way to connect in the veteran community, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. It makes perfect sense. Let's talk about some training coming up. And we were talking in the virtual green room in between segments that there's some training coming up through the Legion, I think in partnership with one of our major universities. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So we have partnered with the Columbia University, and it is specific for this suicide prevention training, suicide awareness training. It's about 90 minutes, and we are trying to get it out to as many members and as many staff and as many veterans as we can. The whole idea is it's not to, you know, we're not mental health professionals, but it gives us the opportunity to identify if a veteran or a caregiver or a family member is in that kind of headspace that they need assistance. And it helps identify the things. It helps us understand where they might be coming from, what to say to them. That's a big thing, is that a lot of individuals don't know how to say, you know, or don't know what to say. So it really helps kind of figure out just that initial navigation of how to get that veteran in contact, you know, identify the issue, kind of communicate with them and let them know that you're there for them, and then how to get them connected with the resources that they need.
Yeah. And just to tie that off, I mean, there are members of Congress that are actually really focused on this veteran suicide prevention, and there's a Veteran Suicide Prevention Act. It's H.R. 5633. 3-3. So let's talk about what policymakers, our lawmakers, are doing to address this. We've already talked about what the Legion's doing, the VA, Columbia. What about our lawmakers? What are they doing to help with this very important topic?
So this is a huge thing for lawmakers across the board, across the House, the Senate, all of them. This piece of legislation, it was introduced by 7 individuals who are not part of the House or Senate Veteran Affairs Committees. So we really appreciate these congressional representatives from outside of that veteran space really seeing this issue and introducing this legislation. This piece is focused on an analysis, a report and an analysis of of veteran suicide, the number, kind of gender data, demographic data, and then what kind of medications they're on, what kind of disabilities they have. That kind of information helps us see where those kind of areas that are missing support are. It can also look at polypharmacy is a big issue for veterans because we have so many things going on with us. And it's, you know, it's just the way that it is there's medications for different ones. And sometimes those medications don't interact well, or sometimes, you know, depending on the person. So that's where that polypharmacy there gets a little bit confusing. And that's part of the bill as well, to really look at what those medications are and how they're interacting. So we would love to see that kind of information, so that way there's a accountability, or there's a way to look back and say, okay, is there a place that we can improve that won't result in this? In the military, when something happens, like an explosion or there's an attack or something, we look back at what happened beforehand. And so we walk ourselves all the way back and see where it started, or where it initiated, where the catalyst was. And that's called left of boom. And so really what the whole idea behind this bill, and there's a couple other pieces of legislation out there, is to identify those left of boom factors, you know, identify those things early enough so that it's not at the crisis moment, you know, because one time at the point a veteran gets to that point, it is very hard to pull them back. From personal experience, it is extremely difficult to pull somebody back from there. So the whole idea is to get as much information as we can and see how we can work it way far before crisis to stop the crisis from happening.
Yeah, well, certainly awareness is the start. People are aware of it. It sounds like things are moving forward, but there's a lot more work to be done. Tiffany, so great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us. We look forward to having you back on the program again very soon.
Thank you very much.
And that wraps up this episode of BRNAM. Have a topic of interest, someone you think we should talk to, then drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the latest curated news and lifestyle, wellness, finance, tech, so much more in all in one place, check out today's edition of our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. Want to search our archives, check out our latest content? Well, then visit our website. We're back again tomorrow with another edition of BRNAM. We'll have a very special guest and another important topic. Until then, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes. Now is your opportunity to co-create content around any topic on the First Lifestyle and Wellness Network. Reach a global audience through our platform and co-own exclusive branded content. All of our programs are available on demand and also as audio-only podcasts, so you can take us on the go. Broadcast Retirement Network, available anytime, anywhere, and on any device.